This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
The Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Pagan, Ampake Pagan, alongside Bahe Yusuf. There is a new teen rom-com on Netflix. Yet another one. It feels like Netflix is the place to go if you want to do a rom-com these days. This one is called To All the Boys I've Loved Before, and it is based on a best-selling YA novel by Jenny Han. It's directed by Susan Johnson. It stars Lana Condor, Noah Centineo, Israel Broussard, and John Corbett, and essentially tells the story of Lara Jean Covey, who is a 16-year-old girl who writes all of these love letters to the boys she's been infatuated with throughout her life. The letters get out, hijinks ensue, and then you have a movie.
Yeah.
It is a great film.
It is delightful.
It is, right?
Yeah. This is the kind of YA adaptations I want to watch more of.
I'm done with The Hunger Games Maze Runner.
Maze Runner has run itself into a maze.
Dangerous Minds or whatever that new one is called.
Yeah, no. This is the kind of movies I want to watch. It's a... I don't know if it's a classic rom-com. It feels more like the teen comedy thing, right? It feels like a successor to 10 Things I Hate About You. It feels like the kind of movie Jennifer Love Hewitt used to do.
Yeah.
This really sort of innocent, there's no big world issues. It's just about a girl and, in this case, five boys.
That's right. Five letters get out, right? And here's the thing. It doesn't play out the way you think it's going to.
I don't know. I kind of saw it coming.
Really?
Yeah.
Because when all five letters get out, I thought there was a chance that there could be a mean streak, that people in school could be really mean if they discovered these letters, that there would be a certain amount of slut-shaming that went on, for example.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the story does well to not go down that predictable path.
I mean, the other question I have is that even the real world anymore? Is that even the real world where... that kind of situation would happen. I haven't been in school for ages, but I'm just curious to see if that trope.
Yeah, but kids are kids and kids are mean.
No, but is that trope still there? Is that trope across the board, right?
And I'm glad it's not in this film.
I'm glad it's not in this film.
No,
exactly.
And
yeah.
The story of this film is pretty simple. I mean, Peter, who is the most popular boy in school, is the recipient of one of these letters. I mean, he's recently broke up with his girlfriend. And what Lara Jean and he decide to do is fake a relationship so he can make the girlfriend jealous and want to get back with him. And she uses this fake relationship to hide the fact that she was once in love with her sister's boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend.
Sorry. Yes. So it's one of those situations where everyone kind of wins. And then, as you can imagine, they start developing feelings for each other. And that story kind of plays out the way you think it will.
Yes.
I mean, at least the A plot does.
Mm-hmm.
However, that being said, the journey to that resolution, the journey to true love, is quite different in that it feels very much like a 2018 film. And there were a lot of subversive elements that play off popular teen rom-com tropes.
Yes.
It doesn't try to deconstruct its tropes. It doesn't try to be Scream. It doesn't try to be too smart about it.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It's just sweet.
Yeah. And I think sweet's important, right? I mean, there's a really great relationship between Lara Jean and her sisters and her dad.
John Corbett plays the dad.
Yeah.
This is, of course, a mixed marriage.
Again, it was never addressed.
Exactly. It's something that isn't addressed. It's something that just is.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I thought it was a little confusing because none of the three siblings sort of really look like each other.
I
could get past that. But
right?
It was just the kind of thing where, like, Lara Jean looks very Asian, the elder sister looks more Hawaiian Asian, the younger sister looks even less Asian. Anyway, no big deal. But I like that the fact that it wasn't addressed. I like the fact that it wasn't, oh, my mom came from Korea, met my dad. Nobody cares about that story. I just want to hear about Lara Jean's story because that's her movie, right?
And John Corbett's fantastic as the father.
Yeah,
just because he comes in just when he needs to come in. For the most part, he's in the background.
He's completely in the back. You don't even see him, right? You forget that he's in this household. There's a little great interaction between Lara Jean and her friend, or rather, Lara Jean's friend and the father, because she goes, you know, when you were growing up and you thought to yourself, I want to be a gynecologist. I just think it's weird that men want to be gynecologists. And then his reply goes, I'm going to leave the kitchen now. And he just walks out of the room, you know? And it's just great. It's really sweet. The movie, there's no heavy-handedness in any of the moral values, right?
No.
There's a sweet thing about teen abstinence, sort of, between her dad and Lara Jean. Which is very funny. He hands her a Manila envelope just full of condoms.
Yeah, that's right.
As he drops her off at the bus for a ski trip. It's just sweet.
There are also a lot of these gently subversive moments. So they're at a party. And the way most of these parties would play out in various films is that the teenagers get very drunk.
Yes.
And she asks her fake boyfriend to go get her a drink. He comes back with a drink. She drinks it and she goes, oh, I had no idea beer would taste so vinegary. And he just swaps glasses and goes, no, it doesn't. This is kombucha.
Sorry, this is mine. This is kombucha. He was like, you know, kombucha? He's like, yeah, I'm driving. It's like, oh,
it's responsible drivers. It's a nice moment,
no,
right?
No, completely. Like, throughout. The aforementioned ski trip, prior to that, Lara Jean's best friend had said that this is where all the kids lose their virginity at. Her father hands her a Manila envelope full of condoms. They get there and then the chaperones were like, you know, we're not going to look after you. You sleep wherever you want, you sluts, right? So they just throw cards everywhere, key cards everywhere, and whoever just gets whatever. But there's none of that on camera. They don't show that happening, right? She and Peter don't get down. They don't. There's a little incident in a hot tub, but nothing happens. But that's it, right? And it's sweet that it doesn't go down that route of the expected teen debauchery that goes down on a ski trip overnight, over weekend, whatever.
Because we've seen that enough times.
And
what's more, it feels like a true successor to all of those movies that you just mentioned. Mm. To the She's All That.
Yes.
To Can't Hardly Wait.
Yeah.
It is, I think, the best teen rom-com I've seen since Easy A, which was a tremendous film with Emma Stone. It was one of my favorite movies of that year. And it was also something that was different, that didn't try to dissect or deconstruct the teen rom-com genre. Mm. I think my only complaint about this movie, even though I enjoyed it tons, was that it was a little frenetic in that the way it was shot, the way it kind of played out, left very little room to breathe. I mean, it's an hour and 39 minutes, and it felt a little rushed. I would have enjoyed this movie even if it was 15 minutes longer.
I mean, for me, I think when we first watched it, I turned to you and I said that it feels like a millennial movie. It feels like it's shot for people with ADHD. It's very quick. The cuts are just frenetic. There are points of it where it would just slam cut, slam cut, slam cut, and then it's a different day. And I think that just feels rushed. I don't know if it's a... I'm sure it's a directing decision. I'm sure it's an editing decision. But it just feels like, I think it would have just slowed down a little bit more. It would have been nice.
Also, I have to say, when you watch some of these older teen rom-coms in 2018, some of it feels a little misplaced. It feels a little creepy, given our current conversation. One great thing about this movie, To All the Boys I've Loved Before, is that it is an incredibly woke movie. It feels like all of the characters are aware of their surroundings and who they are. No one is a complete a-hole.
Yeah. One of the boys that she loved before happens to be gay. And he says, I'm out. The school knows, but I don't want to make a big deal out of it. She doesn't know he was gay. And then she tells Peter. Peter's like, yeah, everybody knows he's gay. So it's the kind of thing where like, yeah, there's a gay kid in the school. So that's fine. It's not a thing.
But even the love story, even them wooing one another, doesn't feel creepy in any way. It feels very respectful.
It feels very innocent. It's almost very innocent love kind of situation, right?
Exactly.
The way she and and Peter talk, the way Peter drops her notes. And I mean, for me, the most risque part of this fake relationship was when he put her hand down her back pocket. I was like, ooh, is this going to be one of those shows? And it's not. That's supposed to be a sweet thing, I guess.
It's 16 candles.
That's
what it is. And it was a great little shot as well.
Yeah.
Reminiscent of 16 candles.
Yes.
I have to say, Susan Johnson does know her teen rom-coms and pays homage to a lot of them.
And not in a heavy-handed way.
Not in a heavy-handed way at all. All of these references and points of interest just exist.
Yes.
If you know them, you know them. If not, it's just a part of this film.
Yes. Yeah.
All of the performances are absolutely fantastic as well. All of the kids are really, really good. I don't know how many of them are actually still kids. I don't know how many of them are actually a lot older, but they pull it off. I think some of them even pull it off better than in 13 Reasons Why, which feels like the darker sibling to this show.
No, 13 Reasons Why feel like what adults think a teen show should be.
Kind of.
Yeah.
It feels like let's take all teenager problems and shove it into one 13-episode arc. Exactly. Yeah. This one is genuinely sweet, genuinely funny.
Yeah.
Yet again, it's great to see more romantic comedies.
Absolutely, yeah.
Have some space on Netflix.
Yeah, I think I want to see more.
To All the Boys I've Loved Before, it is now streaming on Netflix. It is definitely worth the watch. It is a Sunday afternoon
that
you will absolutely love.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think when you've seen it. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm at Bahiwai.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.